Welcome to Yolitics, the home of cold beer and hot takes on Texas politics.
Another Let me start the podcast first.
I heard a sound there, and I'm curious, what non-Texas beer did you just open?
Let me couch it with, I haven't been going to the grocery store lately. My wife has been going because of COVID. I'm like, I can't, you know, the money maker here. I got to keep everything looking nice.
Of course.
I can't go to the store.
I get that.
So I have Tecate.
Oh, Tecate is never a bad choice.
It's not bad. It's close. It's Monterey. So it's a good beer. But I also have a drawer full of Rolling Rock, you know, Latrobe, Pennsylvania.
Rolling Rock's good too.
Couple of German beers, Bitburger.
I think we're going to let Robert weigh in on this in just a second. We're going to introduce you to Robert here in just a sec. I am having a Carbach, the Carbachtoberfest. This is brewed in Texas, and it is a Bavarian-style Sedrazen. I don't know what that – I don't know how to
Marzen?
German. What?
Is it Marzen, M-A-R-Z-E-N?
Oh, it is. It looked like an S, a Marzen. You know all this stuff, and yet there you are with all of these imports in your house. Robert, what do you think of the selection here from what you've seen?
Tecate's close. I'm pretty much a Scheinerbach myself. I don't go in
beers,
but Scheinerbach's mine.
Nevertheless, Robert spent 40 years in law enforcement. He was at Dallas Police Department for four decades. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a long time at DPD. He was also SWAT commander there as well, too. We have him on Yolitics, though, because he is now a partner in a firearms training service for brand new gun owners. So normally we have a beer and talk politics. We're going to have a beer and talk guns. And Robert, before we get to you here, I got a question for Jason. You're a native Texan, Jason. How many guns do you have?
I don't have any.
You're a native Texan, man.
I don't believe you.
I don't believe you.
You know what? Here, I'll give you a hint, too. Even if I had 100 of them here, I would probably still say.
And that is exactly my point, my friend. Never tell anyone how many guns you have. Never.
You never answer that.
But we're talking about we're talking about guns and ammo specifically. Because you can't find them. You can find guns. You know, a handful of guns are out there. If you go to Academy, if you shop at places like Grab a Gun or your local gun dealer. But you can't find any ammo at all. I think the only ammo that I can find out there is for a shotgun. And I'll admit, I don't have a shotgun. You can't find anything. And it's all been selling out as we lead up to the November election. I'm thinking, what the hell is going on? Are people getting ready for the revolution or what? Do you think there's going to be armed conflict in the streets? It's kind of frightening, Jason.
Well, there's been a lot of talk about that. There have been a lot of headlines. You know, just before we came on, I typed in a few things, and the headlines that pop up, here's just two of them. Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and far left promises rioting if Trump wins. Another one, right-wing militias are bracing for civil war. So you see enough of these headlines, and even if you say you don't have a gun and you actually don't have a gun at home, you might be one of these people thinking maybe it's time. And that's why we brought Robert Owens in today to talk about this, just because 2020 has been such an unusual year, Robert. You know, it started, of course, with the pandemic, and I think people felt really uncertain in those first months, and you started to wonder, you know, does civilization hold up? Does order hold up here? And then we started seeing the protests across the country over inequality and racial injustice. And I think that some people might have felt a little unsafe in certain neighborhoods then, especially when some of those protests turned violent. And then now we're heading into a very contentious election. Robert, what are you hearing? What kind of, first of all, what is the demographic that you're coming across these days as far as, you know, people seeking out your services? Because you actually train people on how to use a gun.
Yes, that's why we started the company, Owen Riggs, to train first-time gun buyers. And what we're finding is it's in all demographics. The FBI reports that 58% of new gun buyers this year were African Americans, 40% were women, And these are people that, this is by FBI background check, so this is not from the gun industry. So we're seeing it all over the board. And I think there's several reasons. Corona is one, but there's three major reasons why everybody's nervous at this time of year.
What, lay those out. What are the three major reasons?
Well, the first one is the virus. You know, people aren't working. You know, a lot of people, you know, they're having a hard time making ends meet. So crime is going up. Violent crime especially is going up. The second thing is the demonstrations and riots. You know, if they're demonstrations or riots, even if they're demonstrations, peaceful demonstrations, they take police resources away from doing their normal job. If they're riots, they take all the police resources away. So the police aren't available to answer calls in the neighborhoods, you know, away from the riots. They're too busy with the riots. And the last thing, which happens, this is a cyclical thing, every 4 years, it might not have been as bad the last 4 years or 4 years ago, but it's a presidential election year and people are nervous about the new party or a party coming in. So those three things put together. Every 4 years, it always happens, but you have these other two factors on top of that to make just unprecedented number of guns sold in the first 9 months of this year.
Are people reading this right? I mean, this is the United States. Is something really going to happen here? Is this going to be a banana republic where, you know, there's gunfire in the streets and people, you know, can't agree on the result of a presidential election?
I hope not. I don't think so. I think American people or whoever wins the election, you know, we're going to have a peaceful transition and it might be rocky there for a few days because one side or the other is not going to be happy. But I believe in the American people and they're not going to, it's not going to be a banana republic. It's not going to be revolution in the street.
So you think this is much ado about nothing? The fact that we're seeing, I mean, there's, you know, people putting out guides on, you know, what to do on election day and after, and, you know, we need people to show up and this and that. And that's not necessarily saying that they want to incite violence, but we're seeing, you know, especially some of these fringe groups, you know, saying that, you know, if this doesn't go our way, this might get ugly. You don't think that we're going to see, is this going to be another Y2K where, you know, we all stocked up with, you know, 1,000 canned goods in the pantry and then 8 canned goods for the next 8 years because it was unnecessary?
Oh, that's certainly my hope. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think there'll be fringe groups on either side that are going to be foolish, you know, depending on who wins or who loses and who loses. But I think the basics, you know, the American people are going to, you know, they're going to see through that. They're scared right now. But I think things will rock along, and I think we'll be okay after the election, no matter who it is.
How quickly does that devolve, though, when you do have some actors on the fringe who start to do things? How fast can this spiral? You were in law enforcement for a very long time, and you know that all it takes sometimes is a spark, and now you have all of these people who are armed, a lot of them for the first time in their lives. Some of them, maybe many of them, who haven't gone to get training from someone like you. And if you have a gun, maybe you're more likely to use a gun, especially if you've had no training. How fast could that spiral if it does happen?
You know, I don't think that's the case. I think the people who are buying the guns for the first time are law-abiding citizens. They're trying to protect themselves. I think you see this in these riots in Portland and Seattle. A lot of these people are armed. They've been armed for weeks and months. So I don't think that's going to happen. There's going to be fringe elements that have to be taken care of. But I think with strong law enforcement presence, it will stop that. And I think the president or the president-elect, whoever it's going to be, needs to be a calming voice and seek everybody to come together and we don't want this revolution. We don't want bloodshed. We don't want Americans killing Americans in the street of America. That's the worst case scenario.
It's crazy we're even talking about that, though. I can't imagine that's even a conversation we have here, because that's, you know, something we see in you know, third world countries, honestly. The fact that we're having that conversation here is disturbing. It's disgusting. It's fascinating. Scary. I want to ask you about something you said earlier there, Robert, and that is, you said a lot of the first-time gun buyers that are out there are black and are women. What does that tell you?
It tells me that people that in the past that didn't want a gun in the house, ever want a gun in their house, now realize it's a last resort. When I call the police and they put me on hold or they don't show up for a long time, I'm basically my own first responder.
All right. So just to put some numbers with this, the FBI statistics, this was as of September. So, you know, it's gone up since then. But the FBI says there have been 1,730,278 firearm background checks through September in Texas. That's the most of any year since tracking began back in 1998. Of course, background checks are not directly indicative of gun sales, but they are a good indicator. And that blows away the previous numbers on that. Robert, does that comport with what you've been seeing as far as the number of people who have said, hey, could you show me how to use this thing now that I've got it?
Yes, and nationally, I don't know if you see the figures nationally, they sold 20, or they did 28 million background checks in 2019. They did 28 million background checks in the first three quarters of 2020. So as of September 31st, they actually exceeded the whole 2019.
And so it all tracks.
It all tracks, yeah. And, you know, you say this, it's a good indicator of how many guns are sold. It is, because if you fill out a form and you submit your form and you lied on it, so you're going to fail the background check. It's a felony. So most people, if they're going to buy a gun illegally, they're not going to fill out that form. So the vast majority of background checks pass. And a lot of times when they don't, it's because there's too many people with the same name. But very few people actually lie. Are you a convicted felon? No, and you are. That's rare, because you open yourself up to a federal felony. But the other thing with that is you can buy multiple guns with every background check. If you go in there and you buy five guns, that's one background check. So the figures, that's the best number to use, 28 million. But the real number, I'm not sure anybody knows.
Well, there's a likelihood, you know, if we do the quick math, when you say those things, there's a likelihood that far more than 28 million firearms have been sold in the first three quarters.
Yeah, I would pretty much guarantee there's more. Most people buy one, but people buy two. You know, you just don't know. So that's a good ballpark. That's a figure to use for stats, 28 million. And that's from the FBI, so that's a pretty accurate figure.
Robert, we don't want to freak our listeners out, but the reality is that if you go to even places like Academy, where there are families that are there buying baseball bats and whatever else maybe, you cannot find any ammunition at all. And that's concerning to me, but I'm curious what this looks like, let's say 10 years down the road. We're going to have a hell of a lot of guns out there. Do you see anything that, you know, farther down the road that this could impact? Does it concern you that there'll be so much, so many firearms, so much ammo out there?
Well, it's right now, the FBI estimates there's 400 million guns in the United States.
Which is more than one for every person alive in the U.S.
Yeah, 1.2, they call it, for every person in the United States. You would think about, like Jason, who has no guns, then someone else has to have.
Or he says he doesn't.
Somebody else has to make up for that. So some people obviously have quite a few guns. But, you know, it's we're a nation of laws, and hopefully we'll get back to that. And there'll be penalties when you break the law, and the law enforcement will enforce these things. And, you know, there's always been guns in the United States. It's a gun culture. It always has been. And, you know, I go back to the people as being reasonable, and they're going to use them in the proper way. Getting back to the ammo, if I can, real quick. Yeah, that's a hoarding thing. You know, people are scared, so they buy all they can. There's also a lot of people that buy to resell. So we saw this after every major disaster, every major initiative to limit guns or ammunition or both, that the supply goes way up.
Are you hoarding some right now, Robert?
Not around.
Stay in the line when we get done. I'll see what you have. All right, I might buy some from you.
I have no bullets in my house. But you're right; the shelves are empty. I buy stuff mail order.
You can't find it mail order either, though. It doesn't exist anywhere.
I did a interview with a show in Miami, and the guy was looking for 410 shotgun shells for his son. For practice with the shotgun, which is the smallest shotgun shell you can buy. And he couldn't find any 410 shotgun shells.
I'd like to note here that even if Robert has a huge cache of ammo at his house, the correct answer again is to say, I don't have any.
That's the Texan answer.
That makes a lot of sense, though, Robert, that there's probably a lot of economics at stake here as well when we talk about ammunition, because I mean, my goodness, if you're looking to make some money and you see people fighting in the aisles over toilet paper, you start thinking, well, what might happen next? Let me buy all this ammo, because that's going to be something that might be in short supply and people might be willing to pay crazy amounts of money for it. That makes a lot of sense.
We saw that with toilet paper and masks. So yeah, certainly with ammunition, and it's not regulated like guns are. Guns, it's registered. It's this background check's done for you for that serial number, so they know who has that weapon. With ammunition, it's they don't get any data. They just want to make sure you're 21 years old to sell it to you.
Wow.
Other than that, you buy.
What do most people say to you when they come to you these days for training? Are you getting a lot of just total novices who've never shot a gun before, certainly never owned a gun before, maybe were even opposed to guns before?
Generally now? All of the above. Someone in the house, absolutely, we will not have a gun in my house. The wife, the husband, someone in that house. And they make a decision. And I never encourage people one way or the other. It's up to you. You decide that you want to have a gun in your house, because it's a big responsibility. I mean, it's a dangerous thing if you're not properly trained with it.
Let me ask you this. Last question or two here, and we'll let you run here. But I'm just curious, what does your gut tell you? Are you nervous about what happens on November 3rd, November the 4th? Do you think people will be taken to the streets? Where are you, man? You've been in law enforcement for four decades.
I think they will, no matter who wins. I think more so if... I don't know. Either way, it's going to happen. And hopefully, the president or the president-elect, talks and says, people settle down. We're going to follow the law. We're going to have a peaceful transition, or the current president is going to stay in effect, and he is the president. We need to support him, and we need to come together. And I hope that's what's going to happen. I think there will be fringe groups, no question, on both sides, that we're not going to be happy either way. But hopefully, I'm sure law enforcement is gearing up, at all levels for just such a thing.
Well, you spent 40 years at DPD. What do you think is happening at the Dallas Police Department right now? What do? They cancel vacations? Mm-hmm. They tell everyone just be on standby? Or does everyone come in on November 3rd? Or what happens?
It's got to be all hands on deck, all these big cities.
Yeah, they'll probably go to 12-hour shifts. No leave. 12-hour shifts, half the people, everybody works, but you can't put everybody working, 12 hours, because then at the end of 12 hours, everybody goes home. So you put half the people on the A shift, 7 to 7, 7A to 7P, the other half on the night shift. And you go like that. Of course, it costs a lot of money in overtime, but that's what they will. I'm sure that's what they'll do. That's what we always did in the past. And try to get everybody out there, every person you can on the line.
Boy, don't you miss it.
I do. I miss the people. after so long a time, I miss the people. But a lot of it I don't miss, especially.
Yeah, on a night like that, it's going to feel really good to just sit back and watch the returns come in and not have to put on a uniform and go out
there.
Oh,
yeah, I'm sure they'll start probably that day. Election day, they'll start 12-hour shifts. I have no inside knowledge, but I'm sure the chief's planning on it right now, and I'm sure they're going to be prepared, as will the county and the state.
Wow.
And the Fed.
Robert Owens, thanks so much, man. Appreciate your insight.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All right, that was Robert Owens. Let's talk now to David Prince. David's a friend of mine. He owns the Eagle Gun Range. There's one in Farmers Branch. And where's the other one, David? It's way up north. It's too far from me.
It's in Louisville.
It's in Louisville. Yeah, that's like Oklahoma City for me, man. It's a haul up there. But David has a two stores, gun stores, sells firearms, sells ammo, and he has two real class act ranges there. And I've been to the ranges, and I've talked to David multiple times over the years. So, David, we appreciate your insight and for always taking our call too, man.
Always honored. I'm very honored.
Especially these days, we imagine you've been a little bit busy. How have sales been?
Their sales are rocking off the charts. We've never seen anything like this, Jason.
What's going on, man? Why are people buying up everything?
Since the COVID started, we got busy during COVID, but once the riot hit downtown Dallas and things, people have just been knocking down our doors left and right. It's mostly the civil unrest, the talk about defunding the police departments. People are just really concerned today of their personal safety. Our training's up about 76%. We've added probably 10 classes. We usually have about 10 classes a month. We've added 10 more classes just to keep up with training. The firearm sales, back to Jason's comment, if we could get all the firearms that we would like to sell, our normal, we usually have about 200, we're a small gun store. We have about 200 firearms that we sell regularly, have an inventory of. And we're down to about 50 or 60. And just that, we're well over 100-120% of last year's sales. If we had all of ones that our typical inventory level, we'd be 200-300%. So
wait, so now you're at 120% of last year's sales, and that's as of what point in this year?
That's the last 4 weeks. And then since reopening, we closed down for a month, and then I thought to become an essential business. And since reopening in May 2nd, that's been about 40% increase in shooters and about 95% increase in firearms.
Wow.
4 weeks, it's over 115%.
David, you talked about firearms. Let's talk about ammo, though, for people who might already have firearms.
No, let's not talk about ammo, okay?
For people who might already have firearms, you can't find any ammo.
No, it's horrible.
Are people hoarding it, or what's going on?
No, we can't get the components. As everything I'm reading and hearing about, we can't get the components. Our manufacturers can't get the components. And once they can get the components and have a completed product, then you have the high demand. But, my typical wholesaler that I buy it from, I mean, they've got none. So when they don't have any, it goes back to the manufacturer. And my understanding is that the brass comes from Brazil and the lead comes from Canada and the firing pins come from, the primers come from Europe. So you're trying to figure out all these components being COVID bound and trying to get into the U.S. And then once they get here, everything's shut down. It's just, is slowing down the raw materials getting here.
See, David, I think it's important the nuance in that explanation. And that's part of the reason why we do this podcast, because you see these top line numbers of the number of people buying firearms. And then you see that there's no ammunition available. And then you see these headlines that say, different groups are gearing up for, post-election stuff. And you think, is that what's driving all of this? It's really way more complex than that. And it's also way more simple than that. It's just like with all of these other products, like a bicycle that you haven't been able to maybe to get your hands on because the components, the supply chain is all messed up because of COVID. So this isn't necessarily that people are arming themselves to the teeth because they're thinking about the election. This is a whole host of things that are going on at one time.
It really is, Jason. I mean, I don't want to oversimplify it, but it really is supply and demand is one piece of it. And the demand is up. Was there ammo here to be bought? Yeah, people will be buying a lot of it, but that's not, the supply is not because it's been consumed, it's supply because of supply chain. Is my humble opinion, and that's what when you have my big distributors don't get any at all. It's not just people buying it up. It's not just reading. There's the number of, one of the things we didn't talk about is just the number of first time shooters coming in here is staggering, Jason, staggering. It's like 60, 70% of the people buying firearms today are brand new first time buyers. And we're just grateful they come in here because we have the chance to point them toward a range so they can learn how to use it, you know, safely. Buying it at some other, you know, large retailer, then they have to come here, which is, I'm glad they can.
Well, what are they saying, David, when they come in to buy a firearm? Are they explaining why they want one?
Yes, absolutely. They're all, almost to a T, every one of them is civil unrest. They're really worried about their personal safety.
Are they concerned about what we saw like in over the summer? Or are they concerned about potential election results?
It's civil unrest. That's a point that whether it's because of defunding police, because of lack of police response, because, you know, civil unrest.
Have you ever
seen the election coming? It worse.
Have you ever seen it a buying spree like this for firearms or for ammo in your life?
Yes, I have. Right after Sandy Hooks, we had a huge rush of people that were, because they were threatening to take the AR-15s away from us. And that's, you know, Feinstein and the rest of that group was really pushing to take AR-15s. They were the precursor for the Beto O'Rourke group today, but, you know, they were. It was really a huge run for AR-15s. Anything 5.56 went away, 9mm went away. But that was definitely second-time buyers. That wasn't all brand-new shooters. That was that was people buying more. We saw maybe 10% new shooters, but the, most of that was people knowing what was coming was more of on a hoarding type thing.
And this, though, is everything. This is firearms, pistols, long guns, ammo. This is everything you're selling out of, right?
Everything. People are walking in and pointing to the firearm on the wall and says, I want that one. Well, that's this. No, I don't care what it is. I want that one. Let me have it. Let me have it right now.
So we have a lot of first-time buyers showing up then. And let's say somebody gets a little bit of training, not a lot, and they keep this gun in their house, you know, 5 years down the road. You know, or some people maybe don't get any training. 5 years down the road, are we safer or less safe?
Anytime you give the public a chance to defend themselves, we're safer. I mean, it's just when they walk out of here, any reputable gun store will at least try to show them how to use it somewhat. Thank God for YouTube today. They can get on YouTube and find some things. But we're definitely safer. Any chance you have for a citizen to protect themselves at home is a good thing.
David, I don't want anybody getting on YouTube learning how to use a gun, man. I mean, you can get on YouTube to fix a sink or, you know, change a tire, man. But don't get on YouTube to change to learn how to shoot a gun.
I would rather them come here. Yes, Jason, I would rather them come here. Absolutely. Because we have passion for training people here.
Let me ask you, our previous guest was talking about, and the headlines we've been talking about, you know, speak to concern about potential civil unrest around the election results next week. Are you concerned that there might be people taken to the streets, there might be sporadic violence or anything like that next week after the election?
Everything I see points toward it. I mean, they're really, they're doing it now. I can't imagine it stopping, no matter who wins. I can't imagine it stopping afterwards. We're gearing up till the end of next quarter. If we can, as much ammo we can get in here. Like I said, we're a small potato. We're not very big. We could take all the ammo we can get.
What do you mean you're gearing up to the end of next quarter, to the end of the year?
I'm anticipating same sales, same kind of. We're trying to order inventory out through the end of first quarter, as much as we can order.
That's just. Are you concerned at all?
Yes, I think anybody would. I think you need to be prepared. Yes, I think with the police officers being completely worn out, beaten down, and underpaid, They took their overtime away from them here in Dallas even. You can't depend on the police officers. You've got to go to the first responder as you. And I am concerned. I was concerned enough to staff up, to have enough inventory, and buy as much ammo as I can so that my customers can feel safe in their own homes.
And what do you think that, do you think that people be marching through neighborhoods or just civil unrest in the city centers or what?
I don't see people marching through the neighborhoods in the Dallas area. I just don't. But yet you have parades going through here. I think in the inner city areas, you're going to have quite a bit of civil unrest.
And we should point out too that your son is a police officer as well too. So you're not just speaking from the hip or shooting from the hip, if you will. That you know, your son is actually one of the guys on the front lines.
Yes, he is. And he and a lot of good men. I mean, House Police Department is filled with great human beings. And it's just sad that they get broad brush painted that they're out there during COVID. They were working shifts that. You know, working in areas they were putting their lives at risk. So anyway, yes, it's important the biggest thing is we have a passion for people to be able to protect themselves. Don't depend on somebody else.
So David, through the end of the year, you know, after we get these results, the election results next week, we assume we'll get the election results next week. even after that, whichever way it goes, do you think business is still going to be nuts, or do you think that depending on who wins, it'll either be nuts or get quiet?
I think who wins will determine the amount of police force that gets back on the streets. So I think that determining who wins will have some effect on it. Yes, I think more law and order will prevail after the election, if Trump wins, if Biden wins. I think you're going to have a lot of civil unrest. There will be unrest after, if Trump wins, there'll still be unrest. I just think there will be, anyway, we're gearing up for both just because that's just the way our society is today.
Mm-hmm. It's a sobering conversation.
Sorry about that, guys.
No, that's why we called you, David. You see from these people who are coming to your store buying firearms, never purchased a firearm before.
Never.
And that's I've seen the headlines. I mean, the New Yorker is a great publication, in my opinion, and they published a headline on Saturday, and the headline says, "What can you do if Trump stages a coup?" I mean, you see the headlines all over the place, and you're like, what the hell? Why do I have to prepare for a coup? I live in a suburb. I live in a neighborhood. I'm not preparing for a coup d'etat. But then you see what's going on. You can't find ammo at places like Academy, at your place, Eagle Gun Range and Farmers Branch in Louisville. And it makes you think, what's going on? It's not just Texas where these problems exist. It's every state in the country.
Really
hop online and try to buy any type of ammo. Go to Bass Pro Shops, empty. Cabela's, empty. You can't find it.
No, and those guys are massive. They buy train loads. We buy a truckload. They buy train loads, and they can't get it. And when they do get it, they've got people lined up, you know, around the block just to get in and buy it up quick.
Wow.
That is telling. David Prince, thanks for taking the time with us today. Although I think you may have killed Jason Whiteley's buzz that he had there off of his imported beer today.
I need another one, man. Jeez.
Well, this is great therapy. Come in and get some lead therapy. We relieve a lot of stress. If you want to use up your ammo, come on in and shoot it, you know.
There's no way I'm using any ammo, but I don't have any ammo. That's right. But, you know.
Yeah.
So we started this podcast with a beer, man. I lost my buzz quick.
Yeah, that kind of took it down a notch or two. But, you know, this is the reason that we're even discussing this. You know, we certainly don't want to fan any flames that are out there. But it's like every day you just keep seeing these headlines and these stories and these guides that are being put out And you know, for what happens on election night and the nights after that, and it, you know, you just start thinking, geez, is this, you know, like I said, is this going to be something huge, or is it going to feel like, you know, all that preparation for Y2K that was all for naught, you know?
Yeah, I you know, I saw an article over the weekend that really gave me hope, and it's in the New York Times, and it was about the presidential elections in Bolivia. And let me read the opening line. It's three sentences in the New York Times. As election day neared, candidates fretted over the possibility of fraud. Voters across Bolivia questioned the solidity of the electoral process. Many worried that the result, any result, would provoke anger and violence from the other side. But in the days that followed, something unexpected happened. The election went smoothly. Its results were quickly and widely accepted. And I'm really hoping, and in my gut, I think that's going to happen here.
You could have substituted in the words United States for Bolivia there.
Yeah, I think. I mean, the dateline said La Paz, Bolivia. That could be any city in the United States. Mm-hmm. You're right.
And, you know, I will say, maybe I'm naive here, but I agree with you. That's what I've been thinking all along. I think that there's a lot of bluster that's happening right now in the campaign. I think that there are a lot of fervent supporters on both sides, and there should be fervent supporters. And I think that, you know, people are rightly concerned about democracy happening legally and carefully and correctly. We should always be concerned about that. But at the end of the day, you know, these people who conduct elections, the way this thing goes, it's, you know, it's tried and true. It's been done over and over again. There's a lot of eyeballs on this. And I think it'll happen like it's supposed to. And I agree that I think that people will, by and large, behave themselves. There will be some fringe elements. There will be some troublemakers. But by and large, I think people are going to accept it and behave themselves. And by accepting it, I mean they'll accept the result legally. They may hate the result and not accept it in terms of, you know, agreeing with it and liking it, but they'll accept it.
Yeah, man, I don't know. It is a little concerning, but I think you're right. I think they'll accept it, and I think the best thing to do election night is to crack open a cold one, go to bed early.
Another Tecate, huh?
No, I'm going to go buy something. I mean, I love Tecate. Don't get me wrong. I don't want Tecate fans.
No, Tecate like is nailing, good. It's good.
Nailing me to the wall here on Twitter.
I'm ribbing you. Yeah. Maybe a Rolling Rock.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I am a little comforted, though, to know that, you know, I mean, if you can't find ammunition on the shelves anywhere, you can start thinking, yeah, what's going on here? But in the end, Jason, you know what this is like, right? This is a lot like trying to get those ball bearings for a rollerblade right now. It's just that the supply chain is all messed up. It's all the same stuff.
Or the supply and demand curve. There's no demand for rollerblades. that could be an issue as well, too. You know, let's hope on November 4th you can crack out the rollerblades again and run up and down the street on those things, man.
That does sound good.
Yeah. You can feel safe in doing so.
And
so,
let's hope that it's all decided by then, too. It's going to be a crazy week ahead, folks. Don't be surprised, by the way. Please subscribe to the podcast here. Don't be surprised if we drop an extra episode here. We have kind of a fun one in mind that might happen in the next couple of days. We'll see if we can actually get that together. It's like herding cats. But yeah, don't be surprised if you see a couple of extra episodes from us in the week ahead, because we're going to be working like maniacs. He was talking about those 12 on, 12 off for officers. I think it might be that way for us as well. Actually, that might be the best case scenario for us.
You only work 12 hours a day, man? Gosh, I need your gig.
Thanks as always for listening, guys and gals.